Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Minas.
Good morning. It is a beautiful day here on a Saturday from Lockport Town and Country Club, and it is Tee to Green on the air here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brian Cozio, PGA Pro Jeff Minas. Kevin Sylvester off this week, although he's working very hard.
Yeah, he's on tour.
That's right.
He's the Invitational tour. He started. The season has started.
That's right. He's got a couple of weeks of work on his game and his tour. So, Kevin, good luck. I know you're playing today out in Orchard Park. So, good luck on that. So, you're here with Jeff and I for the next hour on Tee to Green as we give you your only local spot for golf talk here in Western New York. Yeah, it's absolutely perfect this morning. The sun coming up, and we're on the patio overlooking the beautiful 18th hole here at Lockport Town and Country Club. And coming up over the course of the next hour, as we do every week, we give you our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. And we're going to talk about bunker play this week. So looking forward to Jeff's insight on that. We will get our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, the John Deere Classic this week. Not the greatest of fields, at least in my opinion. Many players are either taking the week off because next week is the Open Championship, the British Open. And there's also some players playing over in the Scottish Open this week, too, overseas to get themselves ready for next week's final major of the year. We'll get our Absolute Care Champions Tour report. We always like to include John Daly whenever possible. So,
but he's will he be playing? He's over.
That's part of the report.
All right, I'll be quiet.
So don't ruin the spoiler here, Jeff.
Gotcha.
Good tease, though, very much. More info coming up. We've got a couple of things you can get involved in with our Tee to Green. We'll call it franchise here, our Tee to Green franchise. Our Duster Putting Challenge. Reminder, sign up today, DusterChallenge.com. That's coming up on Friday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. at Fox Valley Club to benefit the Western New York PGA Reach Foundation. We'll have more on that coming up. And our Batavia Downs Majors Challenge. Yes, it's the final major of the year, incredibly already here. We're in early July and talking about the final golf major on the Pro Tour this year. Ryan Hasenauer, our good buddy from Batavia Downs, is going to join us a little bit later in the show to tell you why you should sign up. And also a little bit, they're about to start live racing at Batavia Downs, so he's going to tell you some info about that. But we want to welcome you here to Lockport Town and Country Club. Again, beautiful morning here as we overlook the 18th green. If you've never played here or you want to see the staff actually prepare the 18th green, I tweeted out a video at Brian WGR about 15 minutes ago. You can see the crew getting the green ready. Jeff, tell me, for those that maybe haven't seen the video or are going to check out the video, they were cutting the green, essentially. What's the process?
Well, they cut the,
like
the video I think you had was of the speed roller.
The speed roller.
Which,
right. So it's not actually cutting it.
It's not actually cutting it. It's like a big lawn roller. It's a little fancier than that, and you actually work side to side on it. It's quite difficult to get the hang of it in the beginning, and it's even harder to get it back on the cart your first time, I know from experience. But what that does is that just compacts the grass a little bit, makes it a little bit smoother surface, adds some speed to the green. I know they have an event today. We were talking to Terry Stiltner, the PGA professional. He's down in the shop this morning. He's got a little event he's running for his members. So they're probably trying to get the greens to optimum speed to challenge the players today.
That's right. Yeah, PGA Pro Terry Stiltner. Maybe we get a chance to talk to Terry. I know he's busy working this morning, but we're hoping to have Terry come on. And also thanks again to GM Roland O'Malley for having us here today. On finishing with a par three.
Yep.
I I love the look of this hole. I mean, I don't. Would you say this is the signature hole? I know people like one too very
one,
much here.
Yeah,
the first
one's
hole
near
down
the road.
The
I would think one might be this. I mean, we have such a cool view because we're 30, 40 feet above it right now on this upper deck.
That's right.
And the sunshine, and so it looks quite beautiful. I don't know if this is the signature hole. It's 1 or 18, and that's two pretty good holes to have as your signature holes.
Yeah, a lot of great holes here. And again, if you've never played this course, I just tweeted out a video of the 18th as well as a look back at the first, so you can take a look at that. And if you ever considered playing here or maybe becoming a member here, you can contact General Manager Rollin O'Malley. I don't know if Rollin's around this morning. We may get a chance to speak with him as well before the hour comes in. So lots to get to, but yes, it's British Open week. Before we get to the British Open, though, any golfer, of course, you're a sports fan, I'm sure. You talk sports on the course. And a really cool moment late last night in sports. If you didn't see it, and I don't know, Jeff, if you did, because it was late. I know how you
I'm in bed early.
You're in bed early.
Yes.
But I know it's non-golf related, but this is a story that I'm sure you've heard of if you're listening. If you're listening to WGR, you've heard of this story. Tyler Skaggs, the Angels player that passed away last week. Last night, the Angels have their first home game since he had passed away, and they're honoring him. Every player on the team wore number 45. They all had Skaggs on the back of their jerseys. They all wore it, and the mother throws out the first pitch. So a pretty emotional scene in Anaheim last night as the Angels are hosting the Mariners. And the first pitch that Mike Trout hits – Mike Trout, if you don't know, one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
He hits a home run. And the ball goes right over the sign that they now have on the outfield that's in tribute to Tyler Skaggs. Right over it. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's a pretty cool moment to start with. They're off and running. They got the lead or whatever. Well, as the game plays on, the Angels are playing incredibly perfect baseball to the point where it ends. The Angels completed a no-hitter last night. Combined group of pitchers did it. Mm-hmm. Not one didn't stay the whole time, but they had the a combined no-hitter. They beat Seattle 13-0. At the end of the game then, after the final out, they all took their jerseys off and placed it on the mound where they had the little 45 written in. I mean, just – I mean,
tough to watch.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I this morning flipped the TV on before I headed out here to Lockport, and just, I mean, an emotional moment, no doubt. And I was thinking about – like, geez, I mean, that might be the sports moment of the year right there.
That's what makes sports cool, right? Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's you talk about team sports. That's their buddy. And what a great tribute to him. And what a nice night for the family, too. You know, you're going through all this angst and everything else, and you have a moment, a reprise for a little bit where you can just relax and enjoy sports. And something so beautiful as that is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about in terms of how to tie it into golf and just – I mean, emotional moments on the golf course. We see that at times. Now, you know, is it to this level? Maybe not. But, I mean, this year, definitely an emotional moment at the Masters.
Tiger.
And if you're, you know, if you remember the scene at the 18th after Tiger had won, he embraces his son, Charlie. I mean, that was a pretty emotional scene as we all reflect back on Tiger embracing his dad, Earl Woods, back in 97 when he rolled the field for his first major win.
Yeah, that's a beautiful moment. That baseball moment, I think, would blow that one away, though.
Yeah.
Tiger's won a lot of events. Yes, he's got a lot of post-round hugs.
Yeah. But, I mean, just in, as you said, though, that's why we like sports, because sometimes it can take tough parts of life and really maybe make it a feel-good moment or a great thing, seeing guys rally together. Obviously, the Angels did that last night. And if you didn't, you know, if it's worth checking out if, you know, if you're online social media or if you're on TV this morning, I'm sure even the news channels will have that story from last night from Anaheim.
And it humanizes the guys. You know, everybody thinks these guys are robots or superhuman, whatever. They're people. You know, they work hard at their craft, and it just shows the human side of a lot of these players.
No doubt. We're here at Lockport Town & Country Club, Tee to Green. Speaking of good things, Derek Kramer producing back in our Amherst studios. Derek, I know you're always on the ball, so you're ready to go here. One more good thing about sports. This week and continuing, the 11-day power play to raise money for cancer. And Derek, I know you played earlier this week along with other members of the GR staff, so kudos to you. And I know you even pulled off a double shift, but Derek, I know you're very modest. You don't like to chime in, but I'm going to let you chime in here. Thank you for your efforts in raising money for cancer and all the people that have done it this week.
I mean, it was a blast, not to mention. There's a lot more difficult ways, I would say, personally to be raising funds for cancer. I mean, I don't like running, so 5Ks are out for me, you know, that sort of thing. So an opportunity to play hockey and do it for a great cause, it's a fantastic double win.
Yeah.
Was there some showboating involved, Derek?
Yes. I'm not even going to try to play coy here. There absolutely was. So much so that Mike was covering his face in embarrassment from what I did.
The Bar League Hero guy, huh?
Hey.
Awesome.
Just take this with you, Jeff, anytime you're on the course. Play hard. Selly gotcha. Harder.
I'll remember that next time I make a birdie.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Well, thanks, Derek, for your efforts. And I know everybody from GR that put and everybody that's playing in the event across Western New York. Kudos to you for doing a great job there. We're here at Lockport Town and Country Club on Tee to Green. Brian Colziel, PGA Pro. Jeff Mitas, thanks for being with us. We will preview the Open Championship. Have we gone enough now of calling it the Open? I don't have to say, yes, it's the British Open. Do people
I think we know it's know the Open. It? I think because we call it the U.S. Open on our side, don't we? Yeah.
And, I think we know.
And it's the season. Everybody knows what season we're in, that it's the Open.
That's right.
Yeah.
As great as primetime golf was out at Pebble Beach, maybe just as equally as good is the fact you get to wake up and it's on TV and we get to watch golf right away early in the morning.
Yeah, I'm up at 5, then golf's on at 5, and you get to watch, and it's a different type of golf, which makes it really fun to watch. You know that I love seeing the weather. We all love seeing the gorse. We all love seeing them hit little 50, 60-yard Texas wedges, even though they're in Ireland this year, right?
That's right.
They're up in Ireland. They'll be rolling it up and hitting shots you don't get to see a lot. Completely different. Completely cool, and it's the world's championship, I guess.
That's right, yeah. And normally we say the British, Great Britain, it's in Ireland. There's been talk of actually having it outside of Great Britain. Maybe they want to go to France one year or Spain to kind of really make it that global feel, like you had said. At the moment, though, they still love to have those royal courses in rotation, like St. Andrews every 5 years or whatever, and you know, Carnoustie and some of these venues that we see.
They feel like they're ancient courses. You know, they feel like they've been around as long as golf has, which most of them have, probably, to be honest. And I'd be hesitant, and I don't know if I'd enjoy if they went to France and played somewhere, you know, some fancy new club or anything like that. I think the antiquity that they play in over there and the history and the tradition and even the starter that they have for the event, everything that goes with that event makes it such a pleasure to watch. You know, that's why the majors, that's what's cool about golf. Every major has its own little feel, and the feel of the British is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at Royal Port Rush in Ireland. It was there in 1951. But Rory McIlroy grew up real close to the course, has played it many times. So he's the quasi-host almost for this event. There's going to be a ton of pressure on him. Not only would he be a favorite in this event coming in anyway,
right?
If he's not already, he's the betting favorite right now, coming in at just around 9-1.
That's probably homer money.
That is definitely, I'm sure, a lot of homer money. But boy, he's got to be amped up this week. I feel like I don't see a middle ground with Rory this week. I either see him playing great and winning this thing, or this is just, there's so much pressure this week and there's so much obligations that maybe he just doesn't. Can't handle it well, and he doesn't focus, and maybe he doesn't play well at all, misses the cut or
something.
Jeez,
I struggle doing the radio show at my club, because I'm looking around seeing everything that goes on. I can't imagine trying to win a major championship with all the distractions of family and friends and your whole country pulling for you. I mean, everywhere you go, everybody's rooting for you. He's such a likable guy in his home country. The pressure, I mean, it's self-applied pressure mostly, but it's tough to stay focused. Hopefully those probably 5 hours that they're on the golf course, he can just focus on the golf, and when he needs to get focused, you know, or maybe that comfort level of being at home and maybe sleeping, you know, seeing his old friends and everything else may help him play better. You never know. Like you say, it's feast or famine, I would
That's
imagine.
Right. Yeah, so McIlroy is the betting favorite for next week's Open Championship. Probably, as you would guess, if I said who's next, you'd probably say Brooks Koepka. Yes. Yep. He's next. He doing his tour of what famous people do at the ESPYs this week with his girlfriend Jenna Sims.
Oh, and, did he? Yes.
Yeah, they were well dressed and things like. Of course, he's 11-1. Rory 9-1. Koepka 11-1. And then Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods, and John Rahm, who won last week at the Irish Open. That's why that's gone up. Is 16-1. Justin Rose 20-1. Molinari, Fleetwood, Schauffele in that 25-1 range, and then Fowler is 30-1.
Can't they wager right at the event there?
I believe in Great Britain you can just, they have areas, or at least, I don't know if it's mobily or if it's, you know, electronically or things like that, but you can. But yeah, I mean, it's much easier. Obviously, there's states now in the U.S. that are starting to make this. New Jersey, maybe the closest one here to our proximity here in New York State, but I'm sure soon we'll see New York's, well, New York State is close. But
they're fast with legislation, right. So it'll happen quickly.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, we have Ryan Hasenauer coming up from Batavia Downs. Maybe we'll get an update from Ryan on where that stands in terms of sports legalized gambling in New York State coming up. But, yeah, the British is so good for, as you said, the traditions. And one thing is it's a nice transition here into our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, and maybe you can do this two-faceted, is that pros on the PGA Tour, a lot of times, especially around the green, I wouldn't say in the fairway, but around the green, they like being in bunkers versus being in the rough. The tougher the course, where the rough is tougher, even the more so where pros would rather be in the bunker. First of all, just for maybe those that wouldn't understand why that would be, because for a lot of amateurs, they don't like being in the bunker over anything. But why do the pros like being in the bunker more than maybe thicker rough around the green?
Well, a bunker, your lie is predictable. The bunkers are pretty much consistent at these major venues from event to event. The sand's consistent. Where the rough is thick and it's unpredictable, your lie can be down at the bottom. It can be sitting up on top. And that tall grass and that long grass wants to stop that club, grab that club, twist that club. And it makes it harder to control the trajectory of the ball coming out of the grass. So, and how, you know, where, how it's going to roll, et cetera, et cetera. Because the club face doesn't actually, as in a bunker shot, the club face doesn't actually contact the back of the ball a lot in the rough. So there's too many variables. Typically, when you're in that long rough, you have to create a lot of speed to hit the ball a short distance. In a bunker, you've got, it's a known entity. It's a simple shot once you understand the concept of it. All you're going to do is you just open up the blade a little bit. Sand wedges are a different club than the rest of the clubs in your golf bag. They have the trailing edge. It's hard to visualize. Maybe the leading edge or the front edge of the golf club is actually above the bottom edge. There's a bottom edge of the golf club that's below that, so we call that bounce angle. And what that does is like an airplane wing. It actually allows the club to skip through the sand, where your regular clubs, like your 7, 8, 9 irons, don't have bounce. They have they'll actually want to dig into the sand. So that club, if you sit there, if you have a 60-degree wedge, you go in the bunker, you have 10 degrees of bounce, you open it up 4 or 5 degrees too, you add a little bit more bounce, and that club glides through the sand almost effortlessly, and it makes it a simpler shot. You know, to make the shot simple, it's most of, I have three fundamentals that I teach people with bunker play. First of all, you open up the blade. So you turn that blade open to add more loft to it, then take your grip. Don't take your grip and twist your wrists or hands open. Open it up. Put the ball forward in your stance. When the ball's back in your stance, you'll tend to dig, okay? And then aim a little bit left. It's, for most players, it's easier if you have an open stance to hit this shot. So you have it forward in your stance, open blade, and you aim a little bit open. And then it's zip. Most people don't have enough speed. It's hard for beginners or people with low club head speeds to hit good bunker shots because they don't create enough speed. You're hitting that ball out on a cushion of sand. You're only going to hit an inch or two behind the ball. Most amateurs are going to take a big gouge of sand. Most good players are taking a real small, thin divot of sand, and it makes a nice little thump. So if you go in the bunker and you practice hitting that bottom edge of the golf club, not the leading edge, the bottom edge with the club face open, and hit a bunch of, just practice hitting, draw a line in this bunker and try to hit that spot every time, and then go put a golf ball 2 inches in front of it and zip through and see what happens. You should have more success. And then there's ways to control your trajectory out of the sand, too. You know, you can have a little shallower attack to hit it lower and longer. You can have a little steeper attack to pop it up quicker. Yeah. So there's a lot of variables. You have a lot of options when you're in the sand, where when you're next to the green and greenside rough, your options become limited.
Yeah. Now, in terms of if you have a nice flat lie, mm-hmm. that makes that shot easier. But sometimes you're in the bunker and the ball's below your feet. Sometimes it's above your feet. If it's above your feet, that actually makes it easier, right?
It depends. Yeah, sometimes it'll get the toe to dig or something. But, yeah, the ball is going to come out a little bit pulled then, just like it would on the fairway.
To the left, you're saying?
Yeah. I'm talking about a right-handed golfer. Yeah. I apologize. So, yeah, if the ball's above your feet, you want to aim a little bit right. Okay. And you have to come in a little bit shallower because you've got that slope to deal with.
Yeah.
Same thing when the ball is below your feet. It's maybe a little bit tougher for most because you need to maintain your posture through it. Bend from the waist a little bit more, and you're going to aim a little bit left because that ball is going to want to come out a little bit right. And if you aim left and you've got an open blade and the ball's below your feet, that ball, once it hits, as a right-handed golfer, is going to spin to the right, is going to roll right once it gets on the green. Okay. So that's something to be factored. Uphill lies, what I see when you have an uphill lie, what I see with a lot of people is their shoulders are level to the horizon. You want to get that your shoulders a little bit more level to the slope that you're trying to play up and swing up the slope instead of into that slope. A lot of people just plug it right into the slope. I mean, there's a shot you can hit like that. But for most shots, you want to follow the club up the slope.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think what you said, too, about making sure you have the proper swing through it. I feel like when I see guys that I'm playing with, the most miss is that, okay, they go back and it seems fine, but then all of a sudden there's that deceleration and that, oh, I'm going to go slow, and then boom. It's a chunk, and then the ball doesn't even get out of the bunker.
You have to have, I call it zip. You want to zip through the ball. I want to cut through that ball aggressively. What happens, too, sometimes is people open up that blade too much, and that bounce, they just skip right into it and blade it.
Yeah.
So there's a fine line there. Firmer sand, you're going to, that blade won't be, if you're in wet sand, you don't want that blade too far open. Maybe even square, because you do want it to dig a little bit. Really light, fluffy sand, you'll tend to have the club face a little bit more open, take a longer, shallower cut of sand. It's, you don't see it before most rounds. You see most people just hit drivers before a round. Good players are going to go hit some bunker shots to get a feel what the sand will be like for the day. Every place has different sand. As long as the sand's consistent, that's what people like. But if you go and hit a few bunker shots, you'll get a feel for the sand that day, and it'll make you a lot more confident. Once you understand bunker play, it does become kind of easy. It's much easier than hitting from long rough around the green.
Yeah. And the bunkers that you'll see this week in Ireland, upcoming next week at the Open Championship, they are much more penalizing. Sometimes you hear the word pot bunkers and things like that. They're much more penalizing. Sometimes you even see cameras in the bunkers because they're so deep on the broadcast when we watch the Open Championship. These are the bunkers the pros definitely are trying to avoid.
Yeah, I haven't said all that. That's a different story. Yeah, because they're small in circumference and they're deep. So you don't and the lips are high on them, there's not a lot of options to pitch it towards the hole. You'll see them have to pitch out sideways. They'll probably have those sod bunkers with the faces, steep faces. You have to be a pretty skilled bunker player just to get it back in play sometimes. So those, I forget what event it was, Tiger, I don't think he hit his driver two or three times that week because he was trying to avoid the bunkers at the British Open the 1 year. Pretty sure he won that year.
Yep.
And he kept it short of the bunkers, kept it out of the bunkers, and that was his plan all week because they are so penal over there. Where over here in the States, a lot of times the bunkers are, you'll be aiming for them. If you're at Augusta or something or at the U.S. Open, you're aiming for bunkers sometimes, trying it. So it's much easier to get up and down.
Excellent. Good advice there on bunker play. And ultimately, if you don't like it, well, they just don't hit it in there.
Yeah, hit a better shot. Yeah.
that's my advice after Jeff gave you how to do it. My advice is just don't hit it in there if you don't like to play in there. But, yeah, some of the pros definitely like to prefer it a little more than being in the rough or on the green. But you're right. Control the lie, predictability, controlling the spin a little more. I mean, there's some of the reasons why the pros do prefer to be in the bunker versus.
And if you don't have a sand wedge, it is a little more difficult. So if you're a newer golfer or something, you don't have a club that has an S on the bottom, go get a sand wedge. Yeah, go get a used sand wedge or something because it does make a difference in bunkers.
Okay, there's a follow-up for me there. The degree of the club that you should be using, can that change on a greenside bunker shot? Is there a time where you'd say, okay, I need the pin's closer, I need more loft, I would take a 56 or something like that or a 60?
I have four wedges. I have a 48, 52, 56, and a 60. I typically will use my 56 and 60 for most of my bunker shots, my 60 for the shorter, higher ones.
If you need to carry it more
If I need to carry it more, 56. If I have a 40 or a 50-yard bunker shot, I'll use my 52. It still has a little bit of bounce. I'll open it up, come in a little shallower. It makes it so you don't have to swing as fast or as create as much speed to project that ball. It'll come out a little lower. Same concept, same principles. But if you have one core wedge, for most people, if they just find one wedge they're comfortable with in the bunkers, a lot of times that'll be the 56 or the 60.
Okay. Good advice there from Jeff, our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. PGA Pro Jeff Mitas, along with me, Brian Colziel, Derek Kramer producing back in our Amherst studios. Kevin Sylvester has the week off. Thanks for being with us here on Tee to Green as we are at Lockport Town and Country Club. Before we go to break, let's get our PGA Tour Champions Report brought to you by Absolute Care, affordable adult assisted living. And we will see some Champions Tour players playing next week at the Open Championship. The course, the setup sometimes lends itself that we see older players. Even Tom Watson, we've seen have a chance to win it. We saw Darren Clark as an older player win it. So that set up the course usually where length isn't always the ultimate number one premium, maybe like we see at other events. So you're going to see a lot of Champions Tour players in this event. You'll see Jimenez playing in this, Singh playing in this.
Maybe Bernhard.
Longer, I'm sure, you know, things like that. Tom Watson will, and a lot of the reason is, too, is that the following week is usually when they have the senior, the British Open. But that, so a lot of these guys travel over and play in both. One person, though, that will not is John Daly play next week. That's where we get our absolute care here, Champions Tour report. Daly requested, as he did at the PGA Championship, to have a cart due to his knees condition. His knees have been bothering him, and essentially he has the version of what you and I would get to be like a doctor's note to get out of work.
Yeah.
He has that to try to petition the PGA Tour for the PGA Tour and the PGA of America for some of the events. The PGA of America awarded him a cart at the PGA Championship.
Which I disagree with, but yes.
But the RNA that runs the Open Championship denied it, so he won't be playing in it. So I was going to ask you if you agree or disagree, but you kind of told me.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and their response was good. You know, it's an integral part of the game, that walking, and it's part of the game. And I feel they're a little – where golf in America, I feel we're becoming more – we're adapting to what's going on. They still hold on to their traditions very, very well. You know, walking is part of the game. They walk more frequently over there than we do. I believe it's still a part of the game. You know, I know they can on the senior tour take a cart. Walking is part of the game. They're sticking to that. If you're not fit or healthy enough to walk, we're sorry, but that's the rules. You got to follow them. So I think they made the right decision. I think it's a great, you know, I thought he was going to try to tough it out. That's what he said initially. Has he changed his mind since then?
Yeah. Well, from what yesterday's story said that I was reading on it, it said that he's not going to play.
Okay.
So, and you know what?
He wasn't going to win.
I mean, he wasn't going to win. You're right.
No.
But it's interesting, like, to see how tough of a draw or just, you know, how tough it would be for him to try to battle through. But anyway. Okay, we'll step aside here from Lockport Town and Country Club. When we come back, more from Lockport here. We'll get our PGA Tour leaderboard check of the John Deere Classic. 7:45, Ryan Hasenauer from Batavia Downs on our upcoming Majors Challenge that you should sign up and be for here as we roll on. Lots more here from Lockport Town and Country Club with PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for being with us here on Tee to Green on WGR.
Time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, brought to you by Encore Golf, Buffalo's Golf Ball, and by Donald Ross, the world's finest golf apparel, and by New Era Golf, headwear engineered to perform that never sacrifices style.
Back at Lockport Town and Country Club, thanks for being with us on an absolutely perfect morning here at Lockport. Brian Colziel, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. We'll speak with the PGA Pro here at Lockport, Terry Stiltner, in just one moment. But you heard it is time for a check of our PGA Tour leaderboard, the John Deere Classic this week. Most of the big names that you may recognize that are favorites next week at the Open Championship are overseas likely already, either playing in this week's Scottish Open or just taking the week off to prep for the event. But right now, Jonathan Vegas is your leader through two rounds. He is at 13 under par. He shot a 62 yesterday. Andrew Landry, one shot back at minus 12. Lucas Glover, the 2009 U.S. Open champion from Bethpage Black, he is in third place at minus 11. But as we said, normally I scroll down and give you, hey, here's some more of the big names.
There's not too many.
The highest ranked player in the world this week playing is Charles Howell III, 55th in the world.
Jeez.
So the John Deere really took a hit this week with this new schedule this year. Not a lot of players are playing in it. Most of them may be getting over to Ireland and getting themselves acclimated to get ready to go for the Open next week.
I wonder how it affects their gate, you know, with the charities and everything else. Still, somebody's got to have that slot. I'm pretty sure they run a flight directly from there to the golf course.
To get people
on Sunday night also.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, we've had some tournaments the last few weeks with maybe some lesser names playing in it. But we've had some first-time winners and some really cool stories. Matt Wolf won last week.
Saw that.
And has a very interesting swing. But let's bring in PGA Pro Terry Stiltner here for a few minutes. Terry's been busy this morning getting ready for an event, but he's been kind enough to share a few minutes. Terry, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us back. I know a little different weather than when we were back here in late April, early May.
Yes.
Yes.
A little snow and rain.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I think we had like a little snow-rain mix, but boy, what a difference it's been here. And after I mean, let's face it here. Let's not beat around the bush. It was an awful spring for golf, but
correct.
It seems now like summer is off and running with golf. How's everything been here at Lockport?
Everything's been great. The weather's been obviously fabulous with the heat and humidity. Golfers are coming out, and golf course is in wonderful shape. So a lot of our members and our guests are enjoying the facility right now.
Yeah, it looks absolutely perfect out there. And just, I mean, how the golf courses have been able to recover. I mean, it's just
sprinklers are going. Well, who thought we'd see sprinklers this year? Yeah, that's good to see.
Exactly.
Yeah, we've had, what, 4 or 5 dry days in a row, sort of.
Yeah. Well, Terry, as you've gotten to kind of get to know this golf course more and more over the year here with you being your first year here, what have been some of the things that you've really enjoyed about working with it?
Number one, the members.
Yeah.
And number two, obviously, the golf course. The greens are absolutely perfect right now. We had a number of guests come out and played yesterday with some members, and they've all commented yesterday how perfect the greens were and how quickly they were.
Yeah, that's one thing I would definitely say. I mean, for the times that when I've come to play here, the conditions are usually perfect. And the areas around the bunkers and around the greens, I mean, you guys just do – you and your staff just do a great job of making that look great.
Yeah, you can thank the superintendent for that, Jason. His staff does a tremendous job out there, and we're actually very lucky to have them.
Yeah, they do just such great work. I mean, we're over here on the patio overlooking 18, and it looks spectacular, but I know some of the bunkering out on the course and the greens and the fairways are just perfect. If you've never come and played it here, you know, feel free. You can contact Terry. You can contact the general manager, Roland O'Malley, and I know that they're always more than welcome to have people out and check out the place and play a few holes and see if you like the golf course. What's so great about this golf course, too, no matter what you like about a golf course, it seems like there's a hole out here, Terry, that has it. It's a nice
exactly.
variety of holes.
Exactly. Lockport is really a hidden gem up here in Niagara County. A lot of people think we're off the beaten path, but really we're not. We're 30 minutes from downtown Buffalo and, you know, an hour from Rochester. So we're rather lucky with the, you know, the golf course itself, because you can play here every week and you'll have a different golf course every day.
That's right. We last segment with Jeff, we did our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week on bunker play. Around the green side mm-hmm. and things like that. So I'd love to get your 2 cents on what you think are some key components of hitting a successful bunker shot around the green.
Number one, acceleration. Have a slightly open stance and make sure you accelerate through the golf ball and make sure you do not decelerate. Just make sure that golf club is going through the golf ball. Obviously, hit an inch or two behind the golf ball. Propel the sand out, let the sand and the club head and the power knock the ball out.
That's the one thing you said, Jeff. You said
yeah.
you see people don't take enough speed through it, right?
Yeah,
because
like
they're nervous.
Zip.
They're close to the pin. They get nervous, yeah.
Yeah, it's confidence, too. You know, yeah. Once you're confident, it's right. not a hard shot. I mean,
exactly.
To be proficient at it takes practice and time, but, you know, the basic concept of getting it out, it's not very hard. You do have to have speed, though. So, like I said, if you don't have a lot of speed or you struggle to get speed, sometimes those bunker shots will be tough for you.
Is that the biggest mistake you see, Terry, just them decelerating
yes,
through?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. They're trying to pick the ball out instead of, you know, blasting the sand and knocking it out from there.
Yeah.
Or you see people just stick the club in the sand
exactly.
and it doesn't go forward.
Yeah.
yeah
they just like a
it.
Big whap, right? Like,
yeah,
like you're chopping wood.
Exactly.
Well, they see it on TV and they see sand flying and they think that's what you got to do. You just got to displace as much sand and throw it out there. If you take too much sand, there's too much friction, the ball doesn't come out. Yeah, you don't have enough impetus to get the ball moving forward.
Yeah. Terry, how about a thought on next week's Open Championship? It's the final major of the year already on the PGA Tour. We're in early July. This feels like, okay, we're prime season now here to play. But on the tour, it is the last major of the year. It's in Ireland. Rory McIlroy is going to be the favorite. Of course, Brooks Koepka right behind him, too. Who are you thinking about as a guy maybe to watch for next week?
Rory.
Yeah.
Rory, without a doubt. Hometown and, of course, Graham McDowell, too. I'd love to see him pull it off a little upset win.
Yeah,
so
he's quietly got him. Well, I shouldn't even say quietly. He's gotten himself back, kind of playing well this year. McDowell has.
And yeah, beautiful swinger. Yeah, he'll be a factor, I would imagine. He's been playing well this year.
Yeah,
he came from the depths too. He was playing poorly, right?
Yes, and he like his goal this year was to try to qualify. He had to earn enough points and ranking to get into this Open. Of course, he wanted to be in it with it being from at Ireland, mm-hmm. But then played well, and then went to Pebble Beach for the U.S. Open and played well there, too, where he had won.
Yep.
Back, 2008, I think, when it was there, yeah.
And what's nice is you'll see a bunch – you'll see more European players at this event. You know, you'll get a more worldwide flair, I feel, and the coverage will cover more of them, too, because, it, you know, in America, we tend to be – we have that American bias, so, well, you know, the cameras will tend to go to the American players or the leaders. When you watch the British Open, you'll get to see a variety of different players from all around the world and a bunch of the Europeans, and, you know, it's a little bit of different golf, but they're still very – I mean, these are, you know, the – finest players in the world, and this is their championship. This is, they get stoked like this, like we'd get for the U.S. Open.
That's right. And we'll get to see Terry a whole bunch of different kind of shots that maybe we don't see on the American courses. A lot of bump and runs, using exactly. the ground, things like that. I know you said the Texas wedge, but
oh yes,
Rory McIlroy tweeted out something this week on a video of showing him. He said he had like 120 yards in, but he was using a 7-iron and really like three-quarter sort of swing, low trajectory, kind of bounce, 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 skipping it in. So we'll see that quite a bit this week.
Oh, absolutely. Get it on the ground as fast as possible and let it run out.
Yeah. Yeah, our courses tend to be designed to hit the ball in the air. You'll have cross bunkers in front of the greens, and it's all about yardage and carry and everything else. There, yeah, the creativity is part of the fun of watching. Remember, I mean, I'm old enough to watch Seve Ballesteros have played in these events and, you know, hit a 6-iron from 85 yards and chip it up there. Or the other thing is they'll hit a 6-iron from 260 yards, and it'll bounce and roll and trundle and everything else and get there. So it is, it's just completely different. It's on in the morning. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah. That was one thing, too. Phil Mickelson has always said that why he struggled for so many years, that he didn't embrace that different style of play. He wanted to play his game, the which we know, what's Phil known for? The height, the carry, the spin, all that sort of stuff. And he said, I had to, like, convince myself that I mean, when we think about creativity on the golf course, Phil Mickelson might be the first guy we think about.
Absolutely.
But he didn't embrace that. He wanted to play his game, not always necessarily fitting to those courses.
And they're going to have to shape their shots more. You know, there's a little more draws and fades and bumps and cuts and everything else.
Depending upon even what the weather's doing, too.
Right, yeah. If the weather's perfect, you can play that bomb and gouge game. It's still, you know, proximity to the hole is still going to be the number one factor in scoring. But, you know, with the weather, I love seeing the weather there. Hopefully they get one of those gusts. Or have you played over there, Terry?
I've never been across the pond. Dream trip coming up.
Yeah.
You were across the pond this week, but did not bring your clubs, did you?
I did not, no. I got to go towards Wimbledon, though. That was pretty neat.
Just as cool.
It was pretty cool. But, yeah, I did not. I had it was a family trip with stuff. But, yes.
But your family loves golf.
I know. Well, it made me want to have to go back. That's right. No doubt. Terry, thank you so much for coming over and spending a few minutes with us. Good luck with your event today. The course looks phenomenal.
Well, yes, thank you.
Senior Club Championship, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to them.
Good luck to all the participants today.
If they want to contact you or Raul, how can they do it? If somebody listening maybe wants to come check out Lockport here.
You can call the Lockport Town Country Club main clubhouse number, 716-433-5969.
5969. Awesome.
Hey,
thanks,
Terry. For a second. You don't call yourself all the time, do you?
No.
That's right. Terry's still doing the PGA Pro with us. Thank you, Terry. Hey, before we go to break, let's give away a spot in our Duster Putting Challenge coming up on Friday, August 2nd at 6 p.m. at Fox Valley Club. If you are the first caller at 803-0550, we'll give you a spot. Don't call unless you can participate. All right? We only have 50 spots total in this event. But if you're going to call, make sure you're going to show up and participate. Friday, August 2nd, 6 p.m., Fox Valley, the Duster Putting Challenge. You get a free spot. First caller at 803-0550. Give us a call right now. Derek will get your name and your email. We'll send you an email before the event with the information about it. But if you want to check it out in advance, all the information is at DusterChallenge.com. Duster with a D, DusterChallenge.com. And all the proceeds there go to the Western Europe PGA Reach Foundation, a wonderful charity. Jeff, one more time, what does the Reach Foundation do?
Oh, it supports our veterans. Actually, we had the graduation. We teach veterans. Golf is a tremendous tool for veterans working their way back to health. And we had a graduation for 32 of our veterans from our program at Glen Oak this week. We had a little reception and some food and some pop afterwards, and you know, you work with these guys for a while, you get to create some friendships, and it's just a tremendously rewarding thing. And these guys, I forget the gentleman's name, Bunkers for Baghdad, he's donated 10 million golf balls to our veterans overseas so they can swat shots and have a good time. He was there. He's donated sets for our veterans. We raise money to give them golf opportunities, to teach them, to give them equipment. It's tremendously rewarding, and it's something I really enjoy doing.
Awesome. Yeah, sign up, DusterChallenge.com. proceeds benefiting the Reach Foundation. If you sign up to be a Tee to Green club member, you get a discount, 10% off. So go to t2green.golf and to sign up to be a member. It's free. You get our weekly newsletter every week, which is a fun thing to get. You get Jeff's tips. You get my opinions on the pro scene. We give you fantasy picks. Kevin's column is in there as well. You can sign up there as well. And if you are a member of the Tee to Green Club, which you should be already, next week, with it being Majors Week, we give away a nice giveaway on Majors Weeks. We'll be giving away an Odyssey putter next week, courtesy of Michelob Ultra.
Very nice.
For all of our Tee to Green Club members. So just sign up, teetogreen.golf. It's free, and you'll be eligible. We will draw it live on air next week, right on video. Everybody will get to see it, to see who gets the Michelob Ultra Odyssey putter next week.
And we have the Majors Challenge, right? Is that?
Yep, and that's coming up next segment. Yep, and also you should be signing up for our Batavia Downs Majors Challenge. We'll talk about that next when we come back. Ryan Hasenauer from Batavia Downs going to join us live. Yeah, it's the final major of the year next week, the Open Championship.
It's hard to believe. It's weird.
That's right. So we'll talk to Ryan next as we roll on here from Lockport Town and Country Club. Again, thanks to PGA Pro Terry Stiltner for joining us, along with our PGA Pro, Jeff Midas. I'm Brian Colesheel. More Tee to Green coming up from beautiful Lockport Town and Country Club right after this on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
.749 Welcome back. Tee to Green here at beautiful Lockport Town and Country Club. Thanks for being with us. It is an absolutely gorgeous day.
I know. This is
for golf, for anything outside.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous morning. Just sitting here watching the sun come up over the hills here. Trees everywhere, birds. Pretty pastoral.
Yeah.
Like it a lot.
We're overlooking the 18th green. If you're just joining us this morning, we'll have the entire show up in our on-demand audio section at WGR550.com. Jeff, with some great insight in our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week on bunker play. We also have been talking a lot about the Open Championship. Next week's the final major. It's in Ireland at Royal Portrush, and we'll be obviously talking heavy about that next week as we have a two-hour show with it being Majors Week. Speaking of majors, it's your final chance to get in on our Batavia Downs Majors Challenge contest. And for more on that, we bring in, from Batavia Downs and Western OTB, the Director of Marketing, Ryan Hasenauer, who's been joining us all throughout the year on the show. Ryan, good morning. Jeff and I here in Lockport. How are you?
Good, good. How are you guys today?
We are excellent. It is beautiful out. And, yes, it's incredible. It seems like summer, in terms of our weather, is just getting going here in Western New York. But on the PGA Tour, it's the final major already next week with the revamped calendar with one in April, one in May, one in June, one in July. We're almost to the end of the major season, but a chance for everybody to sign up one more time, Ryan, to get a chance to win a great prize pack courtesy of Batavia Downs.
That's right. They can email you with their picks. And, of course, the top three people in terms on money won is going to get that prize pack to Batavia Downs, the overnight stay, the free play, as well as the food. And, boy, what a summer we've had. Brian just had Steve Augeri, former lead singer of Journey, last night. 4,000 people rocking at Batavia Downs last night. So, you know, if you want to redeem your offer on a concert night, if we're not sold out already, we'll certainly try to make it happen for you. But there's always something going on at our place, so any night you choose should be a good night out of Batavia.
That's right. As Ryan is speaking here, I'm just retweeting the information on how you can go ahead and sign up, so you can check it out at Brian WGR. But it's really simple. As Ryan said, you just email us the names of your three picks and a finishing winning score in relation to par for the Open Championship to Batavia Downs Majors Challenge at gmail.com. Batavia Downs Majors Challenge at gmail.com. And ideally, you're looking to pick first, second, and third. That should pretty much give you the win. But if you do win, as you said, you get an overnight in the great new hotel, some free money play to enjoy in the casino, and then some awesome money at the restaurants. And Ryan, you guys, since you have redone the casino and the event floor and all that sort of stuff now, some great new restaurants. Why don't you tell people about just some of the new things if they haven't maybe been to Batavia Downs in the last year or so?
Yeah, so in the last year, we've done a little bit of revamping in the Park Place room, formerly known as the Paddock Room. It's now gotten a lot of a little bit of a facelift there, so it's a little bit nicer place to go in when you're having your tribute concerts and all kinds of other events that we have in there. Coming up, of course, we got the Sports Card Show. Unbelievable names. I can't reveal them at this time, but we're going to have a really good group of people coming out to sign autographs coming up in October for the next show with those guys. And then inside Thurman's Place, we've got the End Zone Room. We built a room off the back of 34 Rush. You can book it for parties or all sorts of little get-togethers. There's dartboards in there. We're starting a dart league on Tuesdays coming up in August. And the first game for the Buffalo football team, which is September 8th, they are away, of course, in New York. We're going to have Thurman at our place. We're going to have a big Thurman tailgate party. You can go inside 34 Rush out to the track apron. We're going to let you play cornhole, let you play ladder ball. We're going to have washers out there. Of course, the aforementioned darts. And then we're just going to be hanging out with Thurman, taking pictures and doing all sorts of other fun things. So lots to do and see out there, that's for sure.
Thurman is the man. Let's just say that, right,
he's
Ryan?
He's a genuinely good dude.
Yeah. He's
the
awesome.
Best, man. You know where he is right now, right? He's out in I think, in Georgia Way with his son. His son's playing baseball very well. He's on, a major travel team. And what a great guy. You know, he's following around, you know, watching his son, and it's just, it's heartwarming to see, you know, he's just got that connection. He's a family guy, and we're happy to have him as our ambassador at Batavia Downs.
If I'm not mistaken, his wife was a collegiate golfer, a D1 golfer.
That's right, so, that's right. Sometimes I expect to see her at that WGR golf tournament because I'm sure she would absolutely crush it. So
yes.
We didn't do too bad. We had Danny Gare, and we ended up minus four out there, Brian, at the WGR golf tournament. Good times.
That's good. It's not
that good.
it's respectable, though.
Listen, Jeff, come on here. Ryan's been working on his game. He's getting better and better at
four under and a scramble. Yeah.
Listen.
If you saw who we were golfing with, it's pretty respectable, believe me.
Ryan gives me the update. He said they're making progress. That's right. It's how you finish, right? Absolutely.
Right. You had a good time.
That's right. So, again, sign up Batavia Downs Majors Challenge at gmail.com. Send us your three picks. Ryan has an hour from Batavia Downs joining us here. Ryan, I would be remiss because we were talking about betting odds for the Open Championship next week. What you can tell us about the updating on when we'll get to bet legally on golf or anything sports-wise here in New York State. What do you got for us on that?
So probably by early September, when football season rolls around, you will be able to make a wager at any one of the four major gaming facilities within New York State. Unfortunately, for those of us listening here in the Buffalo area, the closest one is about 2 hours away. However, I do believe that some of the Native American properties will have sports wagering at some point before that. Batavia Downs and OTB, unfortunately, on the outside looking in, the legislature couldn't get anything done. And that also relates to mobile betting. So you will not be able to bet from your phone, unless, of course, you use one of these black market websites already. But in terms of actually making a wager in the United States where you don't have to worry about, you know, your money disappearing in the Cayman Islands, you're going to have that ability probably in a couple of months. And hopefully by next year, Brian, the folks in Albany will see the light and help out OTB, help out all the OTBs, not just our OTB, but even the downstate ones, and Batavia Downs, and you'll be able to make a wager at 34 Rush and what have you. But, yeah, it's coming soon. You're going to be able to bet on golf and all kinds of things within a couple months here.
Awesome. Hey, before we let you go, Ryan, I know you've got live racing starting up very soon at Batavia Downs.
That's right. This weekend coming up, it's an unbelievable 5 days. We've got double concerts, Gin Blossoms, followed by the Batavia Stock, which is our Woodstock tribute. 2 days after that, we are going to be welcoming the horses back for live racing. And it's exciting, you know, having those folks back. It's, you know, always brings a little bit more people to the gaming facility, and everybody just has a lot of fun. You know, talk about a movie night, talk about a date night, talk about a dinner night. Come on out to Batavia Downs. It's a little bit different than what you might be used to for a date night. A couple bucks on the ponies and just have a good time out there.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, we really appreciate your support of our show this year. I hope everybody that has been in the Majors Challenge this year has had fun with a little action on the tournament, try to win in a great prize pack, and we appreciate your support of the show, and thank you for everything you do for us.
I appreciate you guys, Brian, and all the time, and I'd be remiss if I did not give a quick plug today for the Sandra Place street sale. I'm currently open for business here on Sandra Place. In Hamburg, New York, there's at least six families here. We're all got our stuff out. I got kids' items, so come on down. We're trying to go to Disney World, Brian. Help me out.
You cover the rest of the show, Brian.
That's my way. Jeff is in his car already. Jeez, you're going to leave me here for the last 5 minutes of the show. All right. Well, you heard it there. Big street sale going on. All right, Ryan.
Hamburg, New York.
Got it.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
All right, Ryan. Have a good weekend. Awesome.
All right.
All right, see ya. Hey, Ryan has an hour from Batavia Downs again. Sign up, Batavia Downs Majors Challenge at gmail.com. I know it's a long one there, but we got to get everybody in. Batavia Downs Majors Challenge at gmail.com. Send us your three golfers, and you're in. And I'll send you an email to say that you're all registered and chance to win a great prize pack. Two things before we go. This week, the U.S. Women's – I'm sorry, not the U.S. The New York State Women's Amateur
was at Lancaster Country Club. Yeah, the men's is at Craigburn, so they're both in Western New York this week. Congratulations, first of all, Jenna Hecker, my buddy's daughter. This is her second women's mid-am she won there. She's one of the few golfers that's won the am and the mid-am she won. And Jennifer Rosenberg from Glen Oaks shot 217, ends up winning the playoff over Chelsea D'Antonio from Craigburn, who shot 65 in the final round at Lancaster Country Club. Shoots 65, gets in the playoff and loses, but a great round by Chelsea D'Antonio and a real nice showing by Maren Cipolla from the Park Club also, who finished fourth. Pretty cool event. Nice that it's in our local area.
Yeah, so the women's state amateur event at Lancaster this past week, and then the men's is at Craigburn on August 3rd.
That weekend? Or
August 2nd and 3rd, yeah.
Yeah, we had the qualifier for that at Glen Oaks. We had 100 guys for that. We had 230 golfers show up for drive, chip, and putt this Thursday at Glen Oak. What a great day that was, by the way. The West New York PGA put that on. Kids from all over, a ton from Southern Ontario, having a little drive, chip, and putt in all different age groups. They go on to the regionals, and then from the regionals they can go to further on. This is the first step in qualifying for the kids that end up making it on Masters, the Sunday before the Masters, for the drive, chip, and putt. Really, really neat event to see all these little kids smiling and running around and having a good time. Like I said, you don't have to be good at golf to get in. There's still some opportunities. I don't know if the deadline's passed for a couple of them, but there's some more in the region that you can sign up for. Drive, chip, and putt, it's a great event for your kids.
No doubt. Yeah, super fun. My son does it. It's so fun. It's everything that's great about it.
Yeah.
Sitting there hearing your kid's name announced, they go up and smack a few drives and then hit some chips, hit some putts. And my son just loves it because his name's on the little electronic leaderboard. He just loves to see where he's at. And he stands over there with – and there's like, 50 other boys and girls that are standing over there just looking, and they're cheering each other on, and it's a really cool event.
Yeah, it is a good day. It's a good day for all the kids. So we're happy to host it, and it's just so much fun to be around.
That's right. Next week for the Open Championship, it's Majors Week. 2-hour show. We'll be at Penn Hills Golf Club in Bradford, Pennsylvania. So Derek will be waking up early. So you're gonna have to be on your game.
Yep.
We're going down to Bradford.
Which is nice.
It is nice.
Yeah, Penn Hills, and we're having a big event there later this year, so that's why we're heading down there. The Western New York PGA is so.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week.
Yep.
But a lot next week on the Open. So, with that being said, who's your pick?
I can't. I ride a horse. I'll beat it to death. I'm a Brooks Koepka fan. The guy just seems to show up for majors. I don't know about the British. It's a little different type of golf, but golf's golf, and he's really good. So I'm gonna keep riding Brooks Koepka.
I'm going John Rahm.
I like it.
He won last week. I think he'll give himself a chance to win this week.
I'll pick Steve Pate for Kevin. All right.
Good idea. Right. Excellent choice. We'll pick Daly since he's
Daly.
Not
yeah,
that's right. All right. Again, we appreciate everybody here at Lockport Town and Country Club. GM Rollin O'Malley, PGA Pro Terry Stiltner, and the staff are rolling out the red carpet as always. Thanks to Derek Kramer for producing back in our Amherst studios. Thanks for all you for listening to Tee to Green. Every Saturday, it'll be up on our on-demand audio section at WGR550.com a little bit later on this morning. For PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, I'm Brian Colziel. 2 hours Tee to Green next week. We'll talk to you then. For now, have a great weekend here on Tee to Green.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.